In looking back on one of those stories that took place after Easter, in the wake of that glorious moment, I have to wonder, what was Matthias thinking about? He was standing there next to Barsabbas as they were casting lots, that ancient way of making a decision. And was Matthias secretly hoping that the lot fell on Barsabbas? Because there are some jobs you do not want. Now, I'm certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that being named the 12th disciple was quite the honor. And perhaps it would have been different if he was replacing Andrew or Bartholomew, but this is Judas we were talking about. Was he concerned that his name would always be associated with Judas? It's like in the fall, when you get one of those phone calls from the committee on committees, and in the middle of the conversation, you start thinking to yourself, why did I check that box, willing to serve on any committee? Because you never imagined the job you would be asked to fill. But that is the first lesson that Matthias learned. And the first lesson that he teaches us, the gift of community is not always easy. And the danger of the legacy of Judas is that disappointment can make us give up on others altogether. We can lower our expectations because when people disappoint us, and if we live long enough, we will all be disappointed. We are tempted to pull back and to stop relying on those around us. But despite our disappointments, there is such goodness, such hope and grace found in the gift of community. Thomas Lane Butts was a pastor in Alabama. He was celebrated because he stood up for integration. That when he was young in his ministry, he signed a petition protesting and asking for the integration of the bus system in Mobile. And the day after he signed that petition, the KKK burned a cross in his front yard. And on the second night, they burned a cross in front of his church. And on the third night, the church held a meeting to fire him. They could not fire him because he was appointed by the United Methodist Church. But he once told a parable about a hiker who left on a long backpacking journey through the mountains, where the hiker would be gone for days. The kind of hike where you have to pack all of the food that you will need. But the hiker misjudged how much food was necessary, so he ran out near the end of the journey. And by the time he finally arrived home, he was famished. The only food in the house was a bowl of apples sitting on the kitchen table. He quickly grabbed the first apple, took a bite, but he grimaced because the apple had gone bad. It had a worm in it, so he threw it away. He grabbed the second apple and he took a bite, but he winced again. That apple had also gone bad. It had a worm in it, so he threw it away. He grabbed the final apple. And he took a bite, only to discover it also had a worm in it. But he simply turned off the lights and finished eating the apple in the dark. There are times in life where it feels as if it would be easier just to live in the dark, burying our disappointments or lowering our expectations. But when we bury our disappointments, we are tempted to lose sight of our need for others. As Norman Wurzburg writes, to live as the body of Christ is to expose the lie that we are self-sufficient beings. And perhaps that's what Jesus was thinking about when he was praying for the disciples. That in the Gospel of John, Jesus is there in the garden before he is arrested, and he prays for the protection of the disciples. It is a touching prayer in a heart-wrenching moment that Jesus faces being arrested, but he's worried for the disciples for after he is gone. And then the second part of that prayer continues to unfold, praying not only for the protection of the disciples, but also for the unity of the church, for those that would believe through them. And I wonder if that prayer for the disciples and the church was not only because of outside concerns, but also to protect us from ourselves. That if we are not careful, we can lose sight of our need for others, turning out the light and eating the apple in the dark. That unity is a shared journey, but it might look different than we first envision. It is not about similarity or uniformity. It is about humility and understanding. There was a commercial years ago in the early 70s, where everyone in the commercial is singing, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony." And throughout the commercial, the crowd gets bigger and larger. It's people from around the globe representing a diverse community. And everyone in the commercial is holding a Coke. And they sing, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to buy the world a Coke." But unity is more than drinking the same thing. It's more than thinking the same thing. It is about humility and understanding. And that journey is not easy. So we are tempted at times to turn off the lights or to lower our expectations. But it is, as Stanley Hauerwas writes, the church should live in such a way that makes no sense if God does not exist. And leave it to Jesus to leave us with something simple and practical that helps. That we are called to listen to one another. When Lillian Daniel was in seminary, one of her first internships was at a mental health care facility. She was not sure what to do. She was not sure she wanted to be there. And her mentor kept saying, just wander the floor. Just be present to the patients. Embody the loving presence of Christ. That her mentor kept saying, just listen to the patients. But those conversations were filled with muddled thoughts, paranoid stories, confusing perspectives. She kept going to her mentor, can't I just lead a spirituality program or a worship service? You know, real ministry. But her mentor kept saying, just be with the patients. Just listen to them. Years later, she looks back on those moments, and she is immensely grateful. She says it became a cornerstone of her ministry because it changed her. Leave it to Jesus to leave us with something ordinary for sacred work. It's like a table or the bread or cup or water. Ordinary things for sacred work, that listening is something that each of us have with us throughout each and every day. And you do not need an advanced degree or a 401k to use it. Anyone can do it. And it changes all of us together. There are times when I step back and I think about this place and its people. And I am honestly amazed at times at the community that we find here. We are not perfect. But I am deeply grateful for it, for the church, the body of Christ, should live in such a way that it does not make sense unless the love of God exists. Amen.